Today on Bold Steps, Mark Jobe encourages us to pursue the presence of God above all else.
Some of you will go chasing the next goal and the next goal and the next goal, and you'll spend your entire life in the pursuit of goals with the idea that if I reach this goal, it'll make me happy, only to get it and realize I'm happy for a moment, but it's gone because you were created, engineered, made by God to be incomplete without His presence.
Welcome to Bold Steps with Pastor Mark Jobe, President of Moody Bible Institute and Senior Pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago. I'm Wayne Shepherd. You know, sometimes even when everything in life seems to be going smoothly and we're accomplishing our goals and getting what we want, we still end up feeling empty. Yesterday, Mark explained that no matter what we do or where we go in this life, the only thing that can truly satisfy our souls is the presence of God. So, what do we do when we end up feeling disconnected and distant from our Creator? How do we reclaim that intimacy with God that He intends for us to have? Let's find out together as we join Mark Jobe for part two of a message about walking in the presence of God.
The only solution for stiff-neckedness is what the Bible calls repentance. Repentance is the willingness to acknowledge that I'm going in the wrong direction and that God's way is better than my way and higher than my way. Repentance always comes with sorrow. There's no happy repentance. It's not always like, yeah, I'm going God's way. No, there's a deep consternation about our spiritual condition that I'm going in the wrong way. Repentance involves sorrow. It involves mourning. It involves a recognition that my life is a mess without God and that I can't do it without God's power. It involves a calling out to God. It involves a humility that's difficult for us, a humility that acknowledges I've been on my own, thinking I can do it on my own, but today I acknowledge that there's a sovereign God that I desperately need. And so I humble myself before that God, and I invite that God to direct my life. You see, we call that spiritual awakening. There's been spiritual awakenings around this country at different times. It means where there's been a massive awareness in our culture that God is doing a new thing, awakening people to His presence and to His heart. There's been about 7 or 8 spiritual awakenings in this country. One of the most powerful spiritual awakenings that I've read about happened in the country of Wales. A guy by the name of Evan Roberts, a young man, started in a prayer meeting, a small prayer meeting. And then a handful of people that felt earnestly sorrow about where Wales was at. At the time, Wales was a mining community. There was much spousal abuse. There was a lot of drunkenness. There was a lot of domestic violence. There was a lot of thievery. There was chaos in people's households. There was just bad environment for the children and for the families. And Evan Roberts felt this, so they started to pray, mourning, asking that God would turn things around. And suddenly God started to work in a supernatural way. Hundreds of thousands of outsiders were converted, added to churches. Many of them turned away from the overindulgence. Drunkenness was cut in half. Actually, taverns in those days that were mainly for people to get drunk went bankrupt because so few people were attending. Crime was diminished. Judges were presented with white gloves, signifying that there had been no cases of murder, assault, rape, robbery, or other things. Police, some of them became unemployed in some districts because stoppages occurred. In the coal mines, they had a problem for a little bit, because so many people that had stole tools in the coal mines were returning the tools that they had stolen. And finally, the managers had to say, stop, don't return the tools if you've stolen them. We already have piles of tools here. For a little while, they had trouble with the animals because many of these people converted stopped swearing. And so the animals were so used to the swear words, they didn't know what they're telling them anymore. They used to be blankety blank move this. They knew what they meant. They stopped swearing, so the animals were kind of like, what are you saying? We don't know where you're going. God cleaned up their vocabulary. For 2 years, there was a revival that turned the country of Wales around because there was a repentance, acknowledgement how desperately we need you, and an awakening that happened. The interesting thing about this awakening is that this young man, Evan Roberts, there was only four things that he emphasized. His message was simple. He wasn't a great preacher, but he said four things. Number one, you must put away unconfessed sin. Don't let your life linger with unconfessed sin. Deal with it. Number two, Evans would emphasize every time that he spoke, put away doubtful habits. If there's something in your life that you know is doubtful, damaging to other people or yourself, and you know that that's not what God wants, then get rid of it. Even if you're not sure, but you say, I don't think this is good for me or my family or my wife or kids. Obey the Spirit's prompting immediately. In other words, do not allow disobedience, long times of disobedience, to linger in your life. And number four, confess Christ publicly. In other words, if you're going to be real about God, if you're going to follow God, this is not a private decision. This is not a secret. If you're going to follow Christ, you need to be bold, upfront, public about your decision and your willingness to follow Jesus Christ. May God bring a revival in our country. May God stir up from the east to the west, the north to the south. A revival that turns our homes around, our neighborhoods around. May God do it in such a way that he receives all the glory and the honor, because we know that God needs to do it in our nation. Number three, you will have to decide how important the presence of God is and his favor in your life and destiny. The Bible tells us that Moses, it tells us in verse 7, Moses used to take a tent and pitch it on the outside of the camp, some distance away, calling it the tent of meetings. And whenever Moses went out of the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrances of their tents, watching Moses until he entered the tent. Here's what I want you to know. The Bible says that Moses would meet with God in an unusual way. When the people of Israel were liberated from the bondage in Egypt, God promised that for a season, there would be a cloud of fire by night and a cloud by day that would symbolize his presence. So as the people of Israel traveled, at night there was a cloud of fire. In the day, there was just a cloud. They would look and know God is with us. His presence is with us. Moses would go to a tent. The Bible had, God had told Moses to build a tabernacle, a tent of tabernacles, but they hadn't had a chance to do it yet. So Moses made his own makeshift tent, and he would go outside of the camp, and it was his own little tent, separate from the camp, and he would go and meet with God. When he would enter into the tent, people would see that the cloud would sort of cover the entrance. There's a couple things we need to understand about this. Let me tell you, I want you to be very clear about this. I believe that as God works in your life, God can work in meetings like this where there's a bunch of people gathered together, but most often, God is going to deal with you alone, separate, convicting your heart, speaking to your soul, without the distraction of people around you, so you can cry out to God, you can weep, you can get on your knees, you can confess, not worried about what other people say. Sometimes you have to get outside of the camp. It has to be alone. The second thing I want you to know is that oftentimes God separates you from the crowd when he's dealing with your heart. God met alone with Moses and spoke to him and dealt with him, and these were powerful meeting times with Moses. And the Bible tells us that he pitched a tent and would go there. I want you to see what it says in verse 15. Then Moses said to him, Moses is conversing with God. He says, if your presence does not go with us, Do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of this earth? And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing that you have asked because I'm pleased with you and I know you by name. Can I say that we have to decide, is the presence of God important to you or not? Moses said, God, I don't want the promised land unless your presence is there. Because I can get the promised land, but without you, it's empty. Look up at me. This is important. Some of you have prayed and prayed and prayed and chased a goal and chased after what you thought would make you happy. And now you have it, and you're as empty as you were on the journey to get it. You have it, but you're missing something in your life. It's the presence of God.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of this message on walking in the presence of God. You're listening to Mark Job here on Bold Steps. And if you ever miss the start or end of one of our daily programs, you can always find them on our website at boldstepsradio.org. To stay connected with us, be sure to subscribe to the Bold Steps podcast on your phone or mobile device and take these messages with you wherever you go. Just search for Bold Steps with Dr. Mark Job and hit the subscribe button. If you have an Alexa device, you can also listen to our messages by following these commands with your device. Say, Alexa, enable Moody Radio. Alexa, open Moody Radio. Alexa, play Bold Steps from Moody Radio. And if you speak Spanish or have a friend or family member who does, Bold Steps can now be heard in Spanish. Pasos a Dasas, Bold Steps, is a new one-minute feature for our Spanish-speaking Bold Steps listeners. Find Bold Steps in Spanish at our website at boldstepsradio.org under the Bold Steps program tab. Now, back to our message for today. Let's learn more about how to walk in the presence of God. Here's Mark Job with today's Bold Steps.
There's no substitutes for His presence. There's nothing in life that can ever fill you the way that God can fill you. You are incomplete without being right with God, without His presence. There is no peace that can be manufactured from the outside. And let me tell you, some of you will go chasing the next goal and the next goal and the next goal, and you'll spend your entire life in the pursuit of goals with the idea that if I reach this goal, it'll make me happy, only to get it and realize I'm happy for a moment, but it's gone, because happiness is elusive apart from the presence of God. You are chasing after something that will never fill you, never satisfy you, and spend your entire life in the pursuit of elusive happiness, because you were created, engineered, made by God to be incomplete without His presence. Moses understood that. If your presence doesn't go, I won't go, Father. Number four and lastly, your hunger for God will determine the degree and intensity of your exposure to His presence. The Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you've asked because I'm pleased with you and I know you by name. You know why God was pleased with Moses? Because Moses had a hunger for God. He wanted more of God. God knew Moses. Moses knew God. Moses had a desire, a hunger to know God, to have all that God had for him, not just part of it. And I love this. God says to Moses, Moses, okay, I'll go with you. You've convinced me. I'm going to go into the promised land with you. And I love the aggressiveness about Moses in the presence of God. Look what it says. As soon as God told them, Moses said to God, now show me your glory. Whoa, Mo. God just said He's going to go with you. Now you want more? Show me your glory. You say, well, what's the glory? What does glory mean? Well, there's two words in the Bible for glory. One you may be familiar with, doxa. Doxa Deo. It means, doxa means glory. Doxa Deo, glory of God. You may have heard that in the Greek. Show me your doxa. Glory in the Greek, that means your beauty, your radiance, your brilliance. In the Hebrew, it's kabod, which literally means weight. It's used for glory. Something that radiates from the person who has it. In other words, what Moses was saying, God, I know your presence is coming with me, but I want to know you. I want to see you. I want to understand you more. I want to be exposed to your presence in a fresh, new, and powerful way. Not from a distance, not from an observatory, but I want to know you close up. God, show me your glory. You know, there's something about a hunger for God and his glory that God honors and responds to. And this is what God says to Moses. He says, Moses, I don't think you know exactly what you're asking for. And the Lord said to him, I will cause my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. Then the Lord said, there's a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my goodness passes by, I will put you in the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I pass by. Can I tell you something about God's glory? Listen, we have downsized, minimized, customized God oftentimes, so he's like a little rabbit's foot to us. We pull him out when we need him. We rub him a little bit. We say, okay, God, I got a traffic ticket. Could you please get me out of this? Oh, I got my COVID test. Lord, has it happened, please? And that's okay. God answers prayer. But I'm going to tell you something. God is not a rabbit's foot. God is not a manageable God. God is not your good luck charm. God is a consuming fire. He's omnipotent, powerful. He's high and lifted up. He cannot be controlled. He cannot be managed. He cannot be manipulated. He is the God, King of the universe. You cannot see his glory because it would be consume you. You and your mortal flesh cannot be exposed to the radiance of God's holiness. The Bible says no man has seen God and lived. You would immediately be consumed. Why? Because the radiance and power of God is so pure, is so undeniable, is so holy that you and your mortality and me and my mortality, we would be consumed by God. It is the mercy of God. And God said, Moses, I will show you as much as you can handle. And so the Bible says that he put him in the cleft of a rock, which means behind a big rock. And he put his hand basically to shield him. And he said, you can see the glow of my glory. You can see the shadow of my glory. But you cannot see my full glory because you cannot handle it. Never minimize who God is. He's the omnipotent God of the universe, which means he has no limit to his power. He's sovereign, which means there is nothing that God cannot do. He reigns high above every principality and power. He's omniscient, which means he knows all things. He's immutable, which means he never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever because he's perfect, and you cannot improve upon perfection. He is the everlasting God. He's had no beginning. He has no end. He's that God, holy in all that he does. There is no sense of imperfection in him. There's no blemish in him. He's holy. The angels sing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. All the earth is full of his glory. That's the God that you serve, not a diminished rabbit foot. And God was pleased with his hunger. So as I close this service today, I guess my question for you, have you been content to live without his presence? Are you stiff-necked, pulling away from where God is pulling you to? I'll be bold with you today. If you're here today and you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, never bowed your knee, never said, Jesus is Lord of my life, then there's a pulling that you feel in your heart, a pulling to surrender, a pulling to surrender your life to the Lordship of Jesus. I know it because that's what the Holy Spirit does. You can fight it. You can resist it. You can say, I don't want to be one of those holy roller crazy Christian people. Look how they wave their hands and do strange things and call people brothers and have their Bible. They're radical. I just want a little light God, not like full-blown God. God doesn't come in packages like that. He's the God that will knock you off course. He's the God that will change your life around. He's the God that expects your total surrender and entire being to Him. He's not a God that will negotiate percentages of your life. But if you're a believer right now, already surrendered to God, and you are fighting the pull of God, fighting the pull of God, then what you may not understand is that as you fight the pull of God, you push the presence of God away. And as a believer in Jesus, as you push the presence of God away, you push the very thing that gives you life and joy and contentment and peace and fullness. He's the one that fills you as you push the presence of God away because of your refusal to steer in His direction. Then you miss and lose the very thing that satisfies your soul. You can be a very miserable believer pushing the presence of God, wanting it like the baby, but pushing away from it at the same time.
This is Bold Steps and the end of a message from Mark Job about walking in the presence of God. And Mark, we've saved a few minutes here if you have any final thoughts on this message.
Yeah, you know, the Bible tells us, Wayne, that we can grieve the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
So as believers, I just want to be clear, if you're a believer, you have the presence of God in you via the Holy Spirit, but you can grieve the Holy Spirit so you can walk around with the presence of God grieved inside of you if you push Him away.
Serious stuff. Yeah,
and you sense that, you feel it, you start to lose the joy that comes through the fruit of the Spirit. And so today, I want to challenge you. Are you living as someone that is grieving the Spirit or pushing the Spirit of God away in the way that you're living? If so, you feel the misery of it, the lack of joy, and the disconnect or dissonance between the calling of God and the way that you're living.
Well, thank you for that, Mark. And before we do end today, what can you tell us about this month's brand new Bold Step gift?
Yeah, so I'm very excited to promote this month's gift. It's called The Reason for God, Belief in an Age of Skepticism by a man who has a brilliant theological mind but makes it accessible. And that is Tim Keller.
Right,
many of you will know.
Love his work.
That name. And he's just done a phenomenal work in New York City and engages in a very secular society. But why does God allow suffering in the world? How could a loving God send people to hell? Why isn't Christianity more inclusive? A lot of questions like that answered in The Reason for God by Tim Keller.
Well, Tim has a word here about the book himself, so let's listen.
The book has two basic messages to people who doubt. The first message is, all of your problems and doubts about Christianity are actually based on beliefs, alternate beliefs about spiritual reality, about God, about human nature. To really have integrity, you need to apply the same test to your beliefs that you are applying and demanding that Christians apply to theirs. The second basic message of the book is that when you look at Christianity positively, when you look at its teachings and what it actually asserts, it makes more sense of the life we see around us than anything else. The second group of people that I'm writing the book for, though, are Christians who already believe, but who have a lot of people that they care for and really love that don't understand their faith, maybe aren't persuaded by their faith. And if you want to share your faith with a very articulate person that you care for, but who has real doubts, I think this book will help.
Well, to request your copy of The Reason for God, simply give a donation of any amount by going online to boldstepsradio.org or give us a call at 844-615-7363. That's 844-615-7363. You can also send your gift and request this book by Tim Keller through the mail. Address your envelope to Bold Steps, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. Again, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. By the way, in case you haven't heard, you can now find special teaching videos from Mark by subscribing to our new YouTube channel. If you want to learn more about the biblical approach to dating, how to stay joyful, or you've simply been listening to Bold Steps and wondering what Mark actually looks like, be sure to get on YouTube and search for Bold Steps Radio, and then click the subscribe button to our channel. Or type in the website handle, youtube.com/@Bold Steps Radio. I'm Wayne Shepherd. That's our time for today. Tomorrow we'll begin a new series that'll take us to the next few weeks, all about the topic of joy and how to get it and keep it. That begins Wednesday here on Bold Steps with Mark Job. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.